Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
Every once in a while,
we gotta the religious people.
There are 720 churches in Charlotte. I'm sure we can find one where you can stuff your face.
Shut up. Quit pointing out the problem.
Men will be proud, arrogant, abusive. You watch some of today's rock star pastors, and you will see every characteristic Paul listed played out in vivid detail on the church stage.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Nothing to see here.
We're wondering if you could do us a quick solid and accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior.
This is Wretched Radio. That is the interview heard around the evangelical world. And I would suggest to you, ain't nothing to see here. Nothing new happened with the Babylon Bee interview of Elon Musk. This is going on, I would suggest to you, in the majority of evangelical churches and the majority of evangelical ministries. The gospel is not being proclaimed rightly or well. And the Babylon Bee, in my opinion, in interviewing Elon Musk, who presumably gave a profession of faith, it seems to me personifies what is going on in evangelical Christianity these days. Not just Babylon Bee, but the response to the Babylon Bee. These folks were interviewing Elon Musk, asked him to do them a quick solid. You know, hey, would you do me a quick solid? Would you please grab that bottle of water for me? That's a quick solid. Becoming a Christian is anything but a quick solid. It is the death of a man or woman unto self. It is a recognition. I don't just do bad things. I is a bad things. It's just through. It's the way I am. And oh, wretched man that I am, who will save me from this body of death? Instead, Elon Musk was asked to do a quick solid and accept Jesus as his Lord and Savior. There's a word you're not going to find in the Bible. You'll see the word receive, but you don't see the word accept. Lambano is the Greek word, and it means that you do indeed get something. You receive it as a gift, but you don't accept it in that you don't say, all right, fine. You want something? Fine. All right, I accept that. I accept you. That is not the way salvation works. Soteriology, so often overlooked these days in evangelical Christianity, and in my opinion, Babylon Bee, they didn't do anything shocking. This is standard fare. And if this interview grieves you, and frankly, I hope it does, then you need to know this is the way the gospel is being presented in most evangelical circles. Why do we see report after study, after survey, after poll, that evangelicals don't have clue one about the Christian faith? Don't we experience that here on Wretched Radio on Witness Wednesdays? We're in the buckle of the Bible Belt. I talk to born-again kids all the time who don't know what it means to be born again. They don't know about the exceeding sinfulness of sin, that Jesus took the wrath of God upon himself to save sinners like you and me. The word repentance, not used. And so if this interview grieves you, and frankly, I don't know how much of this we're going to be able to endure together, because frankly, Elon Musk was a blasphemer in this. He was making fun of the Bible and Jesus Christ. Nevertheless, some Christian publications come up with this headline. Elon Musk says he agrees with Christ's teachings as Babylon Bee asks him to accept Jesus as Savior. Hoofta. How could anybody listen to this and conclude, yes, Elon Musk does agree with Jesus?
We're wondering if you could do us a quick solid and accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior.
Real quick. Let's get this done. Just do it. Do it and we'll move on here.
personal words, you know, it's a quick prayer.
It's quick. We get this done real quick, Elon. Just bow your head, close your eyes, repeat after me, and you're going to be a member of the kingdom of God. I know a lot of people saw this and went, what a dog's breakfast. This is something we've talked about here for, I don't know, 20 some years, that the gospel has been truncated. And in this instance, what we are seeing is a lack of understanding of what must happen for somebody to be born again. Jimmy, they want him to become a Christian because Jesus. Ha! Not funny.
I mean, let's just say, like, I agree with the principles that Jesus advocated.
Sorry to interrupt myself again, but what are the teachings that Jesus advocated? What was the message of Jesus Christ? I know Mark 1:15, repent and believe the gospel. That was his message. Did he have teachings? Of course he did. But was the thrust of the Christian message to do unto others? No, that's merely one law among many. The gospel was Jesus' primary message. So Elon Musk, in a rather old country buffet kind of fashion, does what most people do. Yeah, they can dig the Dalai Lama, read the Bhagavad Gita, and find some clever sayings. And Jesus is just all right with me, too. By the way, Jimmy.
Yes?
Did you put the piano music behind this?
I did not.
Was this music, this is a minute and 33, or rather an hour and 33 into the interview?
Yeah, the music comes at just the right time.
I see. See the poignant moment that we're having? Want to become a Christian?
You know, there's there's great wisdom in what, in the teachings of Jesus, and I agree with those teachings. And things like turn the other cheek are very important, because as opposed to an eye for an eye, an eye for an eye leaves everyone blind. So forgiveness.
Actually, that's really not what that's about. It's about a proportionate penal punishment for a crime committed.
You know, it's important, and treating people as you would wish to be treated. Love thy neighbor as thyself. Very important.
Law.
So it's like a 60-70% as yes.
Yeah, he's getting close, isn't he?
As Einstein would say, I believe in the God of Spinoza.
Okay, that ain't good. The God of Spinoza is a deistic God, hardly the God who sovereignly controls every molecule in the universe.
But hey, if Jesus is saving people, I mean, I wouldn't stand in his way.
Oh, we got one, everybody!
I'm like, I'll be sure. I'll be saved. Why not?
Sweet. We did it.
Yeah.
I think he just said yes.
We got him.
All right.
We got him.
Oh, boy. This is some funny. The Babylon Bee, they're consistently funny.
Were there high fives?
Only this is not. No, there was some clapping. There's some laughing. And it was interesting to watch Elon Musk. It seems to me the fellow would have listened to something. His arms are crossed. He's looking at least thoughtful. He's not making a mad dash to try to get to another subject. And yet, this is what is widely accepted in evangelical Christianity. And this passes for the gospel. I have to tell you, this is to me an example of why it is, I think, at this point in time in history, our attitude needs to change about people and how they talk about God, specifically Jesus Christ and salvation. Don't. If you don't know what you're doing, put the tools down. You're like a five-year-old with a hammer. Elon Musk basically goes on then to mock Jesus. He saved everybody.
I was baptized.
Oh, okay.
Anglican.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, he's done.
They got him in the water. Yeah. Just a baby.
Cool.
This is like
second.
And what a what a confusion for the man. Clearly, the man's not a dum-dum. He's a brilliant fellow. I don't think anybody denies that. And yet we left him with this as an understanding. And somehow I think he was referring to baptism as a baby. And it's like, oh, I'm a Christian now. I don't think Elon Musk took it seriously. I haven't heard him issue a press release indicating I'm born again. I've turned from my wicked ways and I've put my trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Does this grieve us? Yeah, it does. But what should grieve us even more is that this is just the tip of the spear. This happened this weekend in churches. We produced more and more tares. This is Wretched Radio.
Thank you for listening to Wretched Radio today. Well, what do the gospel, environmentalism, sexuality, agnosticism, and social Darwinism all have in common? They're among the 13 topics covered in Season 2 of Road Trip to Truth. With experts like Pastor Milton Vincent, Scott Klusendorf, Jess Arns, Dr. Jason Lyle, and Tom Hammond, among others, Season 2 of Road Trip to Truth will equip you and your kids to defend the Christian faith at school, at work, at the gas station, grocery store, and everywhere in between. Road Trip is also a perfect study to do with others in Sunday school, youth group, small groups, wherever. Just remember to grab the study guide too when picking up your copy of Season 2 of Road Trip to Truth. And it's all because of the efforts of our gospel partners that resources like Road Trip to Truth are able to be produced. Would you also prayerfully consider becoming a monthly ongoing gospel partner? Just visit wretched.org/donate to find out all the information you may ever need at becoming a gospel partner. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
Surprise! I continue to be surprised by MediShare, even though I researched it like nobody's business before Mrs. Friel and I committed to affordable, biblical health sharing as opposed to our traditional insurance plan. I researched, but I did not know all of the things that I'm discovering about MediShare. For instance, people are way more satisfied after making the switch. The customer satisfaction rate is double that of typical health insurance plans. Double. Is MediShare right for everyone? No, nothing really is. But it might be right for your family, and you might be very, very happy with it, especially when you're saving on average $500 per month per family. Interested? Learn more at MediShare.com/wretched or receive a quote within 2 minutes by calling 844-34-BIBLE, 844-34-BIBLE.
90.
That's New Year's resolution time. But before you make yours, I have a different type of challenge for you. How about instead of resolving to be a better person this year, you instead commit to leaving a legacy for Christ? And one surefire way you can do just that is by becoming a monthly Wretched Gospel Partner. Currently, Wretched Radio and TV is seen and heard on nearly 1,000 stations combined worldwide. The second season of Road Trip to Truth has just been released with Season 3 in production, solving the God puzzle on its way to 1 million copies distributed and transformed. Our latest TV series highlighting biblical counseling is set to debut later this year. We're striving to reach people all over the world with the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, and we're only able to do that with the support of our gospel partners. So would you prayerfully consider joining us? Just log on to wretched.org/donate to get all of the details. wretched.org/donate.
Important dates in Christian history. 1962. Second Vatican Council begins, the most significant council since Trent. It will promote new attitudes and practices in Catholicism as Rome seeks to address the modern age. After Vatican II, priests perform the Mass in the local language whilst facing the congregation.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Apparently, somebody turned the page. This is Wretched Radio. If you go back in time to study philosophical history in Western civilization, there is little debate that we have experienced different philosophical chapters. And most people who study history are able to approximately pinpoint when a society goes from mainly thinking like this to now thinking like that. Of course, it's a process. There are some events that turn the pages quicker than others, but we do know that there are indeed seasons when the entire civilization changes the way that it processes reality. If you go back to the year of our Lord, when he died, when he rose again, all the way to give or take 1400, you're dealing with what we would call the pre-modern era. The Bible says it. That's all I need. We accepted God exists. It was a generally known fact because it is a fact. God exists. We just need to do what we're told by him. Otherwise, we could pay a price for it. That was the pre-modern era. Along came a couple of major events that radically altered the way Western civilization thinks. And those two surprising events would be the Protestant Reformation. What? Why did the Protestant Reformation change it? The Protestant Reformation didn't change our pre-modern thinking into modern thinking, where we now believe that man has the answers. The pre-modern world said God has the answers. The modern era says, no, we're going to figure this thing out. And the Protestant Reformation helped to move that process along because the world saw a number of men, rightly so, challenging not God and his word, but challenging the church. And it helped the door to open up into the age of empiricism, where a bunch of godless philosophers tried to present the case God doesn't exist, and we, through our senses, can figure this out. The scientific method will help us to know why everything is the way that it is. That would be the age of empiricism. A group of people, not that long afterwards, started going, I don't know, it seems that there's some shortcomings with saying science is always got the answer. So we were then introduced to another chapter. Now, please note, we never leave behind a bad worldview. They tend to build on one another. They tend to be in response to one another. The student always criticizes the teacher, and his student criticizes him. We're always changing, morphing, adding, but we rarely leave behind the idea of a particular worldview. And so it is, empiricism was challenged by the age of reason. Logic is going to help us figure out why the world is the way that it is. But in response to that, a group of people said, this all seems so clinical. Where's the human element? Wah and la, you've got yourself the romantic period of philosophical history. Experience, feelings. That's what guides us through an understanding of the world. Give or take 19, there's more chapters in here, but these are the biggies. We see a philosophy introduced in France and Germany in the middle of the 20th century called postmodernism, a deconstructionist time. We've been living with that increasingly for the last, I would say for sure 30 years. That this has been the predominant worldview. God doesn't exist. He doesn't know the truth. Humans, they can't know the truth. Therefore, as postmoderns, there is no truth. Or, truth is individualistic. If it feels good, do it. You hear romanticism in that, by the way. And sometimes you'll hear people say or put a yard sign up that says, trust the science. What is that? The age of empiricism, scientific method. So you hear lingering echoes of that era. You also hear logic, reason, well, it just makes sense. We're on the right side of history. What is that? The age of reason. So all of these worldviews now have kind of played a little bit of a role as we turn a chapter in philosophical history. I would like to suggest to you 2020 should be the line that separates where we are at today from postmodernism. Now, please note, postmodernism is alive and well. So also is romanticism, empiricism, the age of reason. We still smell those worldviews wafting in. But I believe, this is my philosophical opinion, that the Western world has changed and turned another chapter. I'm working on a name for this. If you'd like to contribute, I'd love for you to give your input at idea@wretched.org. But I think that we are entering into a new era, and story after story seems to indicate that. For instance, in Canada, you've got Bill C-4. It's a conversion therapy ban. The idea is that according to this bill, which goes into effect, went into effect a few days ago, the Bible's teaching on sexuality and gender is defined as a myth under Canadian law. You can get 5 years if you try to tell your child or parishioner that if they repent and put their trust in Jesus Christ, he will forgive them of all of their sins, no matter how grotesque they may have been, because he's that big of a savior. Will he change your passions and desires? Maybe, but progressively, he certainly will. And that is now going to be considered against the law. You can get 5 years for that. What's going on in Canada is going on in the U.S. of A. It's going on in South America. This is being tried in Europe. We are seeing a push to overturn morality. We went from, you know, figuring things out, defining things, the individualistic era that we're currently in. Oh, you've got the sexual revolution thrown in there. I think we've entered into a new phase. And as close as I can come to naming what this new era is, it's I think paganism. We're reverting. We are not moving forward in history. We are not progressing. We are regressing. This is the way that pagans live. That any man can do what is right in his or her own eyes. Sexual liberation, the name has already been used, but that is the tip of the spear. That is what is leading this revolution in thought. I also think the idea of casting off all restraints describes this era when nobody tells anybody how to live. Unless, of course, you can keep me safe. And then I'll do whatever you tell me to do. Just keep me safe. I don't want to be in danger here. Keep me safe. I'll trade everything. Just keep me safe. But I think that the idea, not the particular phrase, but the idea that comes closest to defining and describing the current worldview that you and I are being exposed to constantly is anti-God. It's anti-God. It's not live and let live. It's not whatever you're into. No, no God. And isn't that what is happening with Bill C-4 in Canada? And there's a lot of pastors that are speaking out and going, this is not the way that this place used to operate. I actually thought this was actually quite outstanding. The number of evangelicals that are responding in a prophetic manner going, that is sin, government. It seems that their response had less to do with individual rights as a Canadian. It was more about what you're doing. You are going to be accountable to God for this. Let me take you to Western Carolina University. The resident assistants now have to take mandatory racial and gender sensitivity training. One of the RAs said that we're told that referring to America as a melting pot can be deemed offensive and be interpreted as saying you should assimilate to the dominant culture. Well, that's an interesting conversation, that. But what is going on at this university? they're using gender unicorns to tell the resident assistants, everybody has their own gender unicorn, and it can be whatever stripe, whatever color, that whatever the person chooses it to be. What is that? It is a casting off of what is so obvious. Just that there's so clearly our pinks and blues. And underneath it all, in my opinion, this is an anti-God era. And that raises a question. How then do we respond to a world that is not just blasé about God, but absolutely opposed to him, seems to me? It's the very same thing that we should have been saying all along. Law, gospel, Jesus dying on a cross, rising from the dead, repentance, and faith. You got a better name for the era? Send it to idea@wretched.org. But in my opinion, make no mistake about it, we're in one. This is Wretched Radio.
This is Wretched Radio, and I'm Jimmy Hicks. A new lawsuit has been filed in Virginia State Court. On one side, there's a group of middle school parents. On the other, a local county school system. The parents are contending that the school system has implemented a new curriculum that will do nothing more than divide their children based on race. The new anti-racist curriculum, the parents say, teaches white students to identify their white privilege and their status as oppressors, while teaching black students to identify as victims of white privilege and white supremacy. The Alliance Defending Freedom is representing the parents in the case, which is just one of many that has been happening all over the country. Parents, fight for your kids. And if at all possible, I would recommend homeschooling your children. Okay, so admittedly, I had to do some research on the next story. A band that I've never heard of until today, called Reliant K, has apparently invited another artist that I've never heard of, similar, to join them on an upcoming tour as an opening act. So why is this news? Well, it appears that Reliant K is a, quote, Christian rock band, and similar is an openly LGBTQ musician. In a tweet to promote the move, similar tweeted, quote, Reliant K is about to have a bunch of gays at their shows. Like I said, I've never heard of any of these people and had to do a little research, and in doing so, I did come across the lead singer of Reliant K describing the band as whatever you want to call them. If you want to call them Christian rock, you can. If you want to call them rock and roll, you can call them that too. I guess I prefer to call them anti-Christian. But that's just me. Well, apparently taking two doses of the COVID jab means absolutely nothing in Germany. New restrictions in the country prevent anyone from bars and restaurants unless they've had a booster as well, which likely will soon change to two boosters and then three boosters. And you get the point. The definition of fully vaccinated is consistently changing. And some would say it's being upgraded, but I disagree with that. There is a word for what's happening. That word is pejoration. Look that up and it'll make sense to you too. As we talked about before here on Wretched, the fertility rate in the United States has plummeted to 1.6 births per, but there's been zero effort to combat the issue. And experts everywhere have commented on what this will mean for the future if it's not addressed. Other nations are also having the same declines that we are in the U.S., but a major difference is countries like Norway, Hungary, South Korea, and Poland are making efforts to boost rates by initiating pro-family policies. So other nations, they're creating opportunities for married couples to have more babies. The United States, well, it creates more opportunities for people to murder babies. More Wretched Radio, it's straight ahead. I'm Jimmy Hicks.
Books of the Bible. The book of Revelation describes visions given to the Apostle John by Jesus Christ concerning the consummation of history. Its symbolic style makes Revelation a mystery to many. But you can understand much by asking what are the setting and action and who are the characters. When you wonder how it's all going to end, God has given Revelation just for you. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Living in an anti-God world. I hope you're not an anti-God girl. or boy or Zed or Zer or Zip or whatever you want. This is Wretched Radio. There is more afoot than what meets the eye. Wow, that illustration kind of got mangled right there. There's more going on, the subtext to what is happening in our world as we see restraints being cast off, the cords of morality being stretched and broken and torn. We see people warring against what should be common sense. And it's not just that they are thinking based on historical philosophies that have no grounding in God's word. No, this is now anti-God. And I think you're going to see more and more and more of this. Would like to share with you more details on the story from Western Carolina University. The resident assistants now need to go through diversity training. And they, not only that, can't stop. They can't be talking about the words Christmas or Easter because of the school's inclusion goals. Huh. So we're going to not pretend, or we're going to pretend that Christmas and Easter don't exist so that people who don't adhere to those worldviews of Jesus Christ being born, dying on a cross, and rising again, so that they can be included. Now, personally, I know this isn't a popular opinion. I'm okay if the entire Western world stopped with Christmas and Easter. Don't give us time off. We Christians will actually take it if we choose to celebrate it and miss work to do so. It's our holiday. It is our worldview. If the world stayed out of it, that'd be fine by me. And that's exactly what they're gunning for here, which is why I believe the new era that we're living in can be deemed some. Maybe we'll come up with a more clever name, like therapeutic moralistic deism. And that was a term that got coined, and it's accurately descriptive of the generation that is like, you know, hey, whatever, invent your thing as long as it makes you feel good. And, you know, do the right thing, basically. It'll make you feel better. Moralistic. Therapeutic. And God, yeah, fine. He's Spinoza's God. Set the place in motion, gave it a spin, sat down in a lazy boy. Now he's just watching the show. Sometimes, when he's not napping. That's the God of Spinoza. And that is the God of this current generation that we live in. But there is more to it now than that. We're moving past, I think, a moralistic therapeutic deism time. And coming up with a name wouldn't be a terrible idea. So an anti-deism, anti-Christ, there you go. There's one that's biblical right there. This is the era of Antichrist. Now, the world isn't going to adopt that moniker, but we should. We're not living in a world where we have competing worldviews. This is a war against God. We don't even want you to use the word Christmas and Easter. That's what they're opposed to here. And we're seeing that in virtually every news story that we read. There's more to it than just changing morality. It's going after the one who has written those rules and those laws. Like to do a hat tip to the pastors up in Canada. Now, I haven't read everything that they've done in response to Bill C-4 flying through the Senate process, the congressional process in Canada. It's going to be signed, no doubt, by Trudeau. And the members of Parliament, that's not Congress or Senate, it's Parliament, they were happy to pass this legislation that says if you're a Christian, you cannot tell somebody that homosexuality or gender confusion is bad and that Jesus Christ can help fix you. I don't even know that this bill would allow you to say he'll forgive you. Whoa. Now, that is a great demonstration of a jurisdiction exceeding its authority. Do you remember? I remember this vividly years ago because it was so striking. This probably goes back at least 15 years ago when spanking was being considered as a terror to children, child abuse, and we should make it illegal. And we'll see that ebb and flow, don't we, regularly? New piece of legislation, got to stop the spanking. And I remember it was John Piper who preached from his pulpit. That's how long ago this was. That if the government mandated today it is illegal to spank your children, he said, I would take my children outside to the streets and spank them publicly. That's a striking way to respond. No pun intended. That's a striking way to respond to the government exceeding its jurisdictional authority. You can't tell us to do that because our Bible says otherwise. You can't tell us how to believe, how to preach, how to create a morals system. It's not your jurisdiction. And I got to tell you, to the credit of the evangelicals that I was reading about, most excellent. This was sent to me, by the way. Stephen, thank you for sending this from Canada. This bill's wording is sufficiently broad to allow for the criminal prosecution of Christians who would speak biblical truth into the lives of those who are in bondage to sexual sins and transgenderism. Even a mother or father who offers kids freedom from these sins through repentance and faith in the gospel could be threatened with 5 years in jail. Whoa. And so a group of evangelicals penned a letter to Parliament. This is the way we should respond to governments who exceed their jurisdictional authority. It is not, maybe they included it in the letter, but there was no petitioning here. They could have, it wouldn't have bothered me to state, hey, you know, historically we've kind of had some rights here. I think that's fine to remind the government of that, because remember, we can petition. We can plead with the government. We can utilize any legal means available to express our dissatisfaction with a law, or these days, mandate. It's fine to do that, but we too have jurisdictional authority limits. We can speak to the government and we can remind them about our rights, but if we're going to deliver a Christian message, not just a Canadian or American message, we must do, well, man, a little something like this from a group of evangelicals responding. It's called the Liberty Coalition Canada. Our King and Head, that's God, is greatly displeased with our MPs for their sinful disregard for the spiritual and eternal well-being of Canadians. It is important to note that they have also committed high blasphemy by referring to biblical teaching as myths in this legislation. We all, therefore, tremble to consider what terrifying judgments will be visited upon our nation for this bold gesture of hatred toward the Most High God. That's exactly what this is. That is precisely what we are seeing in Canada and elsewhere. And these evangelicals have identified that. That is why we are living in an anti-Christ world, not postmodern, anti-Christ. They've sorted through their postmodernism to conclude there's no truth, except there's definitely not that truth, which, of course, we know is a truth claim. Why? Because ideology trumps now. That was not a political commentary. Ideology will supersede decision-making. If you've seen this, by the way, in some of the news stories that you've been reading, you go, well, wait a second, government, what are you doing? This is terrible for children. Ideology. We don't care about the effects. These are our values, and the values are anti-God. Salute to the Liberty Coalition of Canada for delivering a Christian response to sinful behavior on part of the government. That should be our message. The Reverend Dr. Aaron Rock of Harvest Bible Church in Windsor, Ontario, said, in Canada, the teachings of both basic biology and the Bible are now myths, according to Bill C-4. This isn't about protecting people from harm. It's about the state playing the role of God. Amen. There it is. That is exactly what is happening. Dr. Joseph Boot, I will not comply with this law as a Christian leader. I cannot comply. I sure do appreciate that phrasing. Didn't say I'm going to revolt. Didn't say I'm going to resist. I can't comply. When we don't want to do what the government says they want us to do because King Jesus has ruled otherwise, we don't comply. Heads up, January 16th has been deemed Biblical Sexuality Sermon Sunday in Canada. A bunch of American pastors joining in too. What's happening? You're supposed to preach about biblical sexuality from the pulpit. The Christian response to sinful behavior in the government needs to keep in mind what is going on. This goes way past Constitution. This is about eternity. This is about God. And this is about who rules, man or God. This is Wretched Radio. You say Edith in Romania, they say Edith.
Burdened by the hopelessness surrounding her, Edith prayed for a way to bring the gospel to Çokali. Since she started in 2008, she has discipled more than 100 children in this small village, and countless lives have been changed.
If you have never been to Romania, permit me to draw the picture. Think poor, forsaken, dead town in the middle of nowhere. That is where the Tomorrow Clubs thrive. Kids clubs bringing the gospel to small villages. The kids get saved. The parents get saved. The church gets revitalized. And this is happening all over Eastern Europe, courtesy of the Tomorrow Clubs and you. $30 a month, 30 disciples. Would you please consider supporting your own Tomorrow Clubs? TomorrowClubs.org/wretched.
Time. It really is a precious commodity for all of us. We have to be intentional about stewarding our time wisely. And it may be that you have determined that reading a fiction book isn't being a good steward of your time. Well, if I may, not only is reading Randy Alcorn Safely Home worth your time, it is profoundly worth your time and effort to read. And look, don't just take my word for it. Todd says that this book will reorganize your Christian theology and literally enhance your walk. With Safely Home, not only will you find a remarkable story, but you're also going to find a thorough gospel presentation, perfect for believers and non-believers alike. So pick up your copy of Randy Alcorn's Safely Home right now at the Wretched Store. Just log on to wretched.org. That's wretched.org. And see for yourself that reading fiction doesn't have to be a waste of time. It can actually be a blessing to you. Wretched.org.
Clearly, I am not the sharpest bulb in the drawer. Nevertheless, I can figure this out. In order for a woman who is experiencing a crisis pregnancy to see an ultrasound, who 80% of the time chooses life, you've got to have an ultrasound machine. Perhaps you have the means to provide an entire ultrasound machine for a preborn center. If you do, please know the people who use these machines every day, they know their power and they are so grateful.
This is our sonogram room, but we call it the miracle room. But for many years, we didn't have much support for this miracle room. Thank you for the new machine that is on its way.
Thank you indeed. And if you could provide an ultrasound machine or an ultrasound for just $28, please consider doing so. Preborn.org/wretched.
Titles of Christ. In the Bible, Jesus is given many titles that teaches us about who he is and what he has done. Jesus is called the Wisdom of God. The Wisdom of Man says we can earn God's favor through good works, but the Wisdom of God is made known in Jesus Christ, God in human flesh, put to death on the cross to grant us forgiveness we cannot earn. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Am I aware this is the lamest sound effect ever? Yes. Yes, I am. This is Wretched Radio. That is the ringing of the Salvation Army bells. That's all I could find. That's the best we could do here on Wretched Radio. The bell ringers have not had a good season. Christmas is now past. The big giving season, it is over, and the Salvation Army it seems, is hurting because there was a branch that went woke and told their people on staff that white people need to repent for their whiteness. It was totally denied by HQ, and yet we actually have the documents. There's just no mistaking that's what's happened. Now, they're trying to say, hey, that's not what we're about. We do have some updates on the Salvation Army. This is from, where's my glasses? Friel, you couldn't find the bell or your glasses. Well, that's why I couldn't find the right bell. I didn't know where my glasses were. In January, it's going to be offering a two-day racial justice forum in Illinois. Oh, what is the key word there? Racial justice. The Salvation Army is hosting a two-day racial justice forum in an effort to, quote, help alleviate the pain and suffering humanity within our communities and institutions. There's nobody opposed to that. How we view it, why those situations exist, needless to say, that is a debatable subject, but the Salvation Army appears to be going along the lines of more of a critical race theory approach. There's going to be some sort of a theologian there teaching, because the Salvation Army, believe it or not, actually is evangelical. I don't know if you've wondered that about them, but basically their statement of faith is not robust, but it's certainly orthodox. That the Salvation Army, the basic doctrines are like most evangelical churches. I got this from Got Questions. Good website, by the way. They believe in a belief in the Trinity, the full divinity and humanity of Jesus Christ, the full depravity of man at birth, the atoning death of Jesus for man's sin, and the essential need of repentance and faith. The Army teaches that continued salvation, however, depends on continued obedience to the Word of God. Uh-oh, we're all in trouble because we don't. One of the paradoxes of the Christian faith is that the more God sanctifies you, the more you realize how not holy you are. It also changes as you mature in the faith how you view particular sins. Typically, I think overall, we look at the big gross sins. He was a crackhead. Yeah, that person used to be in pornography movies. Whoa, those are big sins. Whoa. So are a lot of other sins that we don't even tend to think about until God progresses us in that direction. Our pride. Oofda. Have you noticed the longer you've been in the faith, the more of it you have, even as you have become more humble? We do not keep the Word of God the way that we are supposed to. Now, we strive to, most certainly, but we also know that if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. And so if it's incumbent upon me to keep myself saved, zoink scoob, I'm scared because I can't. Learn this, however, from Got Questions, that when the Salvation Army was first invented by William Booth, his wife was involved. From Got Questions, the Salvation Army was founded in 1865 by William Booth, who saw a great need for reaching the poor and destitute in England with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen to that. And we should want to bring the gospel to the people who are surrounding us. Discursus. Just saw a review of a sermon from David Platt at the Passion Conference that happens annually in Atlanta. I don't know how many tens of thousands were there this year. There were a couple of wonky teachers and David Platt, who, by the way, hate to report this, but David Platt, who is orthodox on paper, is now hanging out more and more at conferences with really bad teachers. Really bad. Do you need to do a conference with only people who align with every single theological jot and tittle that you do? No. But the essentials, and somebody who's not a charlatan, yeah, I would say that's the standard. Sadly, David seems plenty willing to go preach with a... Jimmy, I think you pointed this out to me.
Yes.
What was the conference that he was going to that was like, wait, what? Who's there?
Yeah, I can look that up. I cannot. I
okay, let me interrupt me when you find that.
Okay.
Because it's a bummer. And when David was preaching at the Passion Conference, he was doing that radical thing again. He was doing that, hey, there's 3 billion people on the globe who haven't heard the gospel. Everybody in America has access to the gospel. Don't be an Americanized Christian. Grab it. Ride it. Get with the program. Be radical. That grieves me. Because I believe that it fails to understand that not everybody goes. In fact, the Great Commission command is, while going, while being about your business, make disciples. It doesn't mean that everybody needs to go to Peru. Now, if you feel called to go to Peru, go bring the gospel to them. But being a radical Christian is bringing the gospel to the people that you know, that you meet, that you bump into, that you walk by. That's being radical. We don't see commands in the New Testament epistles that scold people in Corinth or Ephesus or Philippi. What are you doing sitting there? Don't be a Philippian Christian. Go! Be radical. No, being radical is sharing the gospel where God has sovereignly placed you, where you are. And if you feel the call to bring the gospel, then go. And if you want to preach a sermon about it, yes, you can stir the hearts of people, but to make it feel like you're not really a radical Christian, unless you do something extreme and go someplace. Best of my knowledge, David is still at McLean Bible Church. He'll maybe go on a trip. How many trips is enough to be radical? How many missions trips do I need to go on to be considered radical? Let's not make a law where there is no law. Be radical right where you are. Don't watch pornography. Take care of your kids and love on them. Deny participating in the gossip of the neighborhood. That is being radical where we are. William Booth, he saw a need for the gospel to go forth, but his wife was also a part of that. And she was considered a minister alongside of him. Nuts. Didn't know that. Did you? Booth named himself the general of the Salvation Army, and his wife, Catherine, was named mother of the Salvation Army. Okay, not minister, but mother. From the beginning, women were given the same freedom and authority as men, and Catherine was an ordained minister. Well, there it is. In the organization. That's the founding of the Salvation Army. Furthermore, some people decided to do some digging. It appears this is from Ryan Bomberger. I've seen his name plenty of times before, writing at the Christian Post and elsewhere. The Salvation Army wholeheartedly promotes homosexuality and transgenderism. In fact, on their website, they go out of their way to highlight their unquestionable support of all things LGBTQ. The Salvation Army features numerous videos expressing their embrace of same-sex marriage and gender confusion. Did you know that? About the Salvation Army? Okay, our hiring practices are open to all, and we provide the same benefits to opposite sex and same-sex couples. This is on the LGBTQ page of the Salvation Army. In a video on how they view sexuality, the Salvation Army's communications and marketing manager explains, I've been with my now spouse for 14 and a half years. And I've been accepted by my peers for who I am. No one's trying to change me. No one's trying to convert me. Well, that's a bummer, isn't it? Promoting authors like Ibram X. Kendi, Jamar Tisby, Robin DiAngelo, Daniel Hill. These are the big names of the critical race theory promoters. Just a handful that SA, Salvation Army, highly recommends. Well, we hoped that maybe there was just some confusion and they were going to put the kibosh on the critical theory teaching, but it appears just the opposite is true. Salvation Army, it appears, hasn't gone astray. It appears that it's been astray for a long time, and it's been kept very hush-hush. And it appears that the lid has been blown, and a lot of people are responding and not giving. Their Christmas season was a dud by comparison. What a shame that a ministry that was started to help people as they preach the gospel, done gone woke in all regards. Until tomorrow, go serve your king.